Okay. The advertisement slogan for the final conflict is, "The power of evil is no longer in the hands of children." And they have a quotation from the New Testament, the book of Revelations, and they say the beast of Satan will be a charismatic leader who will hold sway over the world before being destroyed by the Messiah. The lead, Sam Neill, believes in this. His quote is saying, "In this movie, the bad guys are not stupid guys with horns and fans. They don't have a little tag saying, 'I am the devil.' They are charismatic, like Adolf Hitler was. And people will say, 'What a wonderful man.' Now, would that be Henry Kissinger, who has so much charisma in Washington? Would it be Alexander Haig? Would it be Caspar Weinberger or the suave George Bush? How will you know if they don't have armbands and marching feet who they are when they come in and how far they will take you down this road to World War III, no matter what the price, if they believe in it? And part of this whole war and the newspaper articles about World War III, whether it's a limited nuclear or long drawn, is fighting the Antichrist because the Russians have thrown the church out with the communism. And the whole thing is that we have to take that continent, no matter what the cost, whether we make atomic weapons that pollute the entire ocean and the acid rain, or destroy people's minds with massive mind control, or subdue them with narcotics, or lock them up in prisons. We are fighting the Antichrist, and it is that factor that has taken over. And any politician that stands in the way, or any priest who stands in the way of this Antichrist idea, is going to be gunned down, because there are enough people and zombies now being prepared out of places like Jonestown and these churches, or this wonderful Regenbogen Verlaine. This guy's right in Washington, D.C., and the Secret Service writes reports, well, don't take him seriously, he's no threat. And 15 days later, the first man on their list is down. Now, the Hinckley family, there's another description of them in Wall Street Journal another day, April the 9th, and it describes how they've kind of been set back because of their son being involved in the shooting of Ronald Reagan. Although you wouldn't know it, the name's almost off the news by now. But they said that they have a long commitment for drilling funds from European investors, and that the company's investors and partners don't have any intention of closing up. That there will be money coming in, and they said after the shooting, the company's first order of business happened to be an important meeting with European investors interested in making long-term investments in Vanderbilt Energy, and that they will have a steady stream of money and they'll work it out. They acknowledge the retreat of European investors is a disappointment to the company. Now, it'd be interesting, the FBI and Secret Service, of course, I would want them to know what countries had appointments that week to invest into Vanderbilt Energy, little known in Denver, Colorado, but a man who has affiliations with World Vision in 85 countries and is moving to Guatemala. Is there Nazi money from Germany going into these corporations and down to Guatemala where he was moving, or into World Vision? So the question, of course, that is hardly asked and never answered is what European countries are pouring money into Vanderbilt Energy. Maybe it has nothing to do with the plans for Alexander Haig and George Bush to take over the country, but maybe it has everything to do. They sit right on the top of the Trilateral Commission, and people have been afraid of their power for years as a multinational group operated around the world and across the world, larger than individual countries. So what countries were involved with Vanderbilt Energy, and when will they pour the money? Now, there's another outfit that also feeds on the starving poor. It's the EST, the Werner Erhard. I don't do much on this program about it, but it's apropos with seeing this movie of these starving people. And incidentally, when they show these people being gunned down by Idi Amin in Uganda and taking their leather clothing off and killing their cattle and their means of food, the movie doesn't bother to say that Samuel Cummings of the Central Intelligence Agency from Pennsylvania, living in Monaco, and George Kerkol or Frank Turbel were supplying Gaddafi and Idi Amin with weapons to gun those people down. You see, I'm very suspicious of these food programs, as I say, going back to Herbert Hoover, but more than ever with Vanderbilt Energy and World Vision and Ephraim Zimbalist and the whole group, because the movies don't tell you how they got to be hungry. They say these are women and children, and they're pathetic Their legs look like pencils, and they have pneumonia and diseases. And they give them a little bit of corn and feel like good Christians. They fly with an airplane and drop the stuff and leave. But they don't tell you how the heads of households got killed with American weapons. We made the orphans, and then they ask us to give them money to keep their organization going so they can become informers for the CIA to make more slaves. If these people really didn't want starving people on the borders of these countries, they would stop sending weapons all over the world just to make a buck. It seems to me America could manufacture something besides weapons. We create the situation for the orphans in these countries, in Kenya and so forth, and Somalia and Uganda, and we make the crisis. Then we put on television to give us the guilt instead of the people just throwing something at their TV and unplugging it and demanding that the government stop making the weapons and wars and creating the orphans. I've never heard of such hypocrisy. But Werner Erhard's another one who has that Feed the Poor program, who collects money and groups such as public, prominent people working for him, the worst of Dick Gregory, and many movie people. And he has his EST. There's a wonderful article about him, the Miami Herald, and I have many on Werner Erhard, and a good book on him, The Millionaire Guru, who sold and used car lots in St. Louis, Missouri, another town of Nazi headquarters where Hinckley was to celebrate the anniversary of Nazi Rockwell's birthday in St. Louis, a nest of Nazis in St. Louis and Chicago. But he was Jack Rosenberg, and he chose the name Werner Erhard. Werner is from Werner Heisenberg, and Ludwig Erhard, he took the name Erhard from him. Those were his heroes, and allegedly he saw an article about West Germany in Esquire magazine. Esquire must be a really funky magazine with a lot of key words coming out. Remember, John Hinckley was supposed to have fallen for Jodie Foster and wanted to go to Yale in September because he read it in Esquire. And at the time of Jonestown, Jim Jones went down to Belo Horizonte with the CIA in Brazil because he read in Esquire that it was a safe place. And Jake Rosenberg decided that the article on West Germany would cause him to become Werner Erhard. I know that there are some CIA people on the staff of Esquire, but I don't know how far back it goes. I know one in particular who's been there the last couple of years at least. But by 1972, Erhard was in California, where the big bulk of the money and Stanford research and the University of California and UCLA and the mind control programs go. So he was down in Esalen in California. Then he got up in San Jose with Harry Margolis, the tax attorney who has Operation Haven, that tax haven in the Bahamas, and connected with the Bahamas and the Netherlands Antilles. Then Werner Erhard set up his revenues in Switzerland. They're in a Swiss bank. His charitable settlement is in a tax-free, it's called the Isle of Jersey, and all of his money, called the Body of Knowledge, is in a Dutch corporation. He pays 7% Dutch taxes, and he has a foundation in Bern, Switzerland. So when you send him a buck for the starving poor, he was going to end the starving poor, and was at Madison Square Garden and large cities with pictures of these same black people, you know, suffering from these terrible diseases. Werner Erhard, if you want to send your money, you'll just about get into Bern, Switzerland, and not be sure that I don't know if he's saved one person since he started the Feed the Poor program, but he's a splinter off the world vision program where they're really getting away with an awful lot. Going back in 1960, June 60, almost a year ago, I did a program, tape 444, The Fruits of the JFK Assassination Paying Off. And in effect, it was about a meeting last May of 1980 of an evangelical movement, the same evangelical Christ group that World Vision is, that Mr. Hinckley's southern friends in Texas belong to. Now, John Hinckley Sr. kept his oil Vanderbilt Resources and Vanderbilt Energy offices in Houston, Texas, and he moved to Denver, Colorado, with strong ties in Texas. But his neighbors, the neighbors that moved down the street where he lived, like Nelson Bunker Hunt or Mr. Clements, the governor of Texas now, was Secretary of Defense. He had some fancy Texas people that set up an organization of 100 Americans last year to turn the entire world Christian. Their first project was to raise $1 billion each. $1 billion each to spread, of 100 Americans, to spread the gospel around the world and turn the world Christian. And Leon Jaworski was a member of that group, that meeting. They had a meeting in May of 1980, and it was set up by Clement Stone, Richard Nixon's pal, and I'll do some more on him and his links to the Hinckley family. And they set up another meeting in September of 1980 and one in January of 81 in Miami. Leon Jaworski is part of that world group. He was at the Nuremberg trials, trying the Nazi Germans that most of them got off. He was on the Warren Commission. He investigated Watergate and Korea Gate. John Connally, the man who has President Reagan's closest ear for appointments, former Secretary of Navy and Treasury. He has a home down at Tyrol Bay in Jamaica, where David Rockefeller is soon to move down from Chase Manhattan down to Tyrol Bay, linked to Permandex and assassination teams, and Clint Murchison and Nelson Bunker Hunt and Gerald Ford, all of these people involved with the Kennedy assassination, who in 1980, a few years later, were raising money for an evangelical movement and used the mass media to turn the entire world Christian. They have a campus crusade called the International School of Theology, where they give a golden glove of honor. If you give 100,000, you're a world sponsor. 50,000, you're a hemisphere sponsor. 25,000, a continental sponsor. And it goes on and on. And they want to raise billions until they, in quotes, teach the poor that if they die, they will go to heaven. And tell China, that is their future target, they will convert all of China, 900 million, to Christianity. That is their goal, to convert all of China and tell the poor that when they die, they will go to heaven. So the pictures that you see on TV of World Vision are those poor that will go to heaven. Now, Clement Stone was one of the people, the founders behind this group, and just this last week he was on the Today Show, nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. And this Clement Stone, and they asked him who nominated him. I think, I forget who was, Jane Paul was on vacation. I forget who was interviewing him. And Jessica Savage, and she said, who nominated you for the Peace Prize? And he said, Howard Baker of Tennessee and Gerald Ford. Two of the men behind covering up the Watergate, covering up the Kennedy assassination, all the dirty conspiracies of the world. And he was talking about how he accumulated his $450 million in the insurance business. You might try this tomorrow when you get up in the morning and you're on a shoestring or whatever. You should see Clement Stone. He's got this little tiny waxy mustache, his little bow tie, and his suspenders are embroidered. And he says, do it, do it, do it. Do it now, do it now, do it now. And you say it over and over until you get done what you want to do. He said he had a magnificent obsession when he was younger, and now he has a foundation. And the way he made $450 million was to say, do it now. Now, not only was he on this broadcast, but Clement Stone is the fellow who I mentioned last week, put up money for the Secret Service agent who was shot when Ronald Reagan was shot, McCarty, to go down to his compound down in Acapulco and take a vacation. Clement Stone will, I'm sure, make sure that there's no prosecution or hard-hitting of the Hinckley son, and he will treat all the people that were shot very kindly so that there is not a big fuss for their friend of world vision and world Christianity and humanitarianism, John Hinckley Sr. The San Francisco Chronicle had a full-page story by Maggie Paley, special to the Chronicle, and there he is, Clement Stone, William Clement Stone, top salesman for positive thinking from his combined insurance company of America, and there he is for all his glory. So he was on the Today Show. He had a full page in the Chronicle. I wrote about him in 1973 in the Realist article, "The Senate Select Committee is Part of the Cover-Up." I said Clement Stone contributed nearly $7 million to the Republicans since 1968. That's after Robert Kennedy was murdered, to put Richard Nixon in office. He said, I felt this provided the one chance in a lifetime to change the course of history for the better. The feeling of necessity and desperation he expressed was translated into better business, and he helped the Republicans with his money. He not only helped the Republicans with his vast amount of money, But Clemens Stone has been behind, he hired Donald Segretti and put money into the Watergate, Dwight Chapin, the agent that worked with Robert Haldeman. They hired Segretti for all the dirty tricks that were never prosecuted or detailed at the time of Watergate. And when Dwight Chapin got out of jail, he put him on a full-time salary. He was the man in charge of the office appointments of Richard Nixon. He hired him through his jail time and later kept him. He works for Clemens Stone as his great god right now in Chicago, the headquarters of the Nazi organizations where John Hinckley worked. Now, the problem of these World Vision and Clemens Stone's and the organization to turn the whole world Christian is that, in essence, what they are going to do is any means necessary. They will arm every country. They will turn people against each other. They will fight it out in countries where there are non-Christians and decimate them, because in order to get that Christian message across, they believe that it's now or never. And one other article at the time, that right after Ronald Reagan was shot, it was in Newsweek, April the 13th, Charles Lindbergh, Where Are You Now? They run those ads all the time, put out by Computer Science Corporation. And some evening I'll do a discussion of Charles Lindbergh and his distaste for yellow and black and brown. And he said that by losing the war, we got the mongrelization of the races. I have direct quotations of Charles Lindbergh and what he thought of white America, and how Adolf Hitler, he got awards from Goering, and Adolf Hitler and the Luftwaffe, that was his favorite air corporation, the German Luftwaffe, the private army of Adolf Hitler. And he was an outright Nazi, Charles Lindbergh. And it's very ironic at a time where these Nazi organizations are surfacing and these church organizations that we see. Charles Lindbergh, Where Are You Now? One man with limitless courage and a burning vision. Now, in essence, I think that encourages people to kill and go out. If they're more violent than the Nazis, and the Nazis are waiting to be violent, somebody has to get the first guns off. Now, as I said, I'm going to try for the last 10 minutes to summarize what I've been trying to tell you about these characters and about these movies and about money to feed the poor and Ephraim Zimbalist or World Vision, the attorney for John Hinckley Jr. when he went to the Brain Control Center in Durham, North Carolina, where they can wash and sanitize his brain and protect the family from any scandal, because he's a very poor, sick, tired boy. He's getting this protection. The father has international connections. His national wealth is puny, but he has immense power in the Dallas-Fort Worth area with people who have been Christian fundamentalists that don't mind a confrontation in the world. They're arming every single country. John Connolly has been part of this, a Secretary of the Navy, Secretary of the Treasury. Out of Texas has come a group of people like George Bush and John Connolly and Leon Jaworski and Clemens Stone, who has offices down there out of Chicago, and Clint Murchison and Nelson Bunker Hunt, and people like Gerald Ford, who worked with Jaworski and Connolly at the time Kennedy was killed. Outside of the Southwest has come something deeper and worse than just a North-South battle that we had in the Civil War. We had economic problems of using slave or freeing slave or separating from the Union or staying together. We've had North and South problems of elitism, of the Eastern Seaboard thinking they were superior than the Southwest, kind of bringing this on. The Harvard, the Yale, the Princetons, the Yaleys, the Vassars, the Smiths, the Wellesleys, and the Benningtons, the superior brains in some ways. The testings are done to get them into college, the recommendations, the parents, the sororities and fraternities, to keep an elite white wing, not only right wing, but I would say a white wing in power. And they formed the National Security Council and committees like the Trilateral, or meeting in Europe with the aristocracy, and in Monte Carlo. And in Monte Carlo became the headquarters for arming the aristocracy to put them back on their crummy thrones. And the Soviet Union, when it became the Soviet Union, threatened the ruling class, the world bankers, and particularly the church, because they threw the church out with the economic policies. And we're getting in this country under the churches the right to arm, the right to stockpile weapons, the right to make grenades. The Secret Service and the FBI both told me they can't investigate any of the organizations like the Reverend Moons or the Fellowship of Friends and their links, direct links to Nazi, not neo-Nazi, not 20-year-old Nazis, not 30, the old Nazis or down in Chile. If it's a religion, they can't cross the border. I sent for one of those minister degrees for $5. I became a minister in Mr. Hinckley's church, and I'm okay. I can marry people or bury them, and I'm a minister. I said, if I'm a minister and I can have 60,000 quaaludes in the house and dispense them or put them in the water wells of people or contaminate, if I'm a religious leader, you can't come in my house. Is that right? And they say, yeah, that's right. You can have guns. You can stockpile for the whole neighborhood, for the whole block, for the whole area, geographical area, if you're a minister or a priest. So what has happened? The FBI said, well, we don't keep track of Nazis. We don't keep track of Minutemen. And these men tried to say that after 72, it was the liberals who didn't like the gumshoes bugging them. It with the Communist Workers' Party, the Socialist Party, therefore their wings were clipped. And I reminded them their wings were clipped because they sent in provocateurs to do the violence. They were involved in the killings in the South, the racist killings. Their agents killed. Their agents bombed universities. They bombed army depots. They set fire to places. I remember being at a meeting in the anti-war group at a GI coffee house out here in Seaside. And a fellow pulls up and he says, let's get these bombs and let's get the action going. So we questioned him and we knew he was the agent in the crowd. He gets immunity. He brings in the weapons. He helps burn the draft cards. He brings in the ammunition. He can call the press. And then he gets immunity and the others get caught. So what happened at the time of Watergate and the laws that should have been were you don't wiretap or bug people who aren't committing the crime. That is the point of Watergate or freedom. They don't have to bug or wiretap my house or make memos about me just because I'm afraid of fascism. When I sent for the freedom of information, they said, let's disseminate everything about her to the Secret Service and the FBI in San Francisco and Washington and so forth because she's afraid of fascism. When I show those agents those papers, they just don't even understand what I'm talking about. That doesn't mean they shouldn't stop watching the fascists or the intent to kill. If there's a group in Washington, D.C. that sends out engraved invitations that the war has begun and here it is and we're going to start killing people, we're going to start killing priests. I remember when Herbert Mullen went to Hawaii in the company of a very mysterious woman to an army base, and he came home, and then he killed a priest up in the Santa Cruz area. And he said he was instructed to do it. He was told to do it. So I began a file of a whole rash of religious persons that were killed. Well, there is nothing that comes down on society or the left or whoever you think it is than killing these religious people. So I wondered if we were going to have a rash of people programmed to kill priests. And in comes this engraved invitation, the Father has come, declaration of war against religion. Well, what he says he wants to do is to put every Jew in the oven, but he'll start with the priests and show that it's for real. The killings are for real. Now, the father of this John Hinckley with his world vision, with AID, with their track record in Cambodia, in Nigeria, with the Wall Street Journal saying he was going to build water wells in Guatemala. That is the newest country after Liberia that the fascists in our Pentagon and the Fritz Kramers giving the orders in the Pentagon are going to take over. I think it would be valuable for a private writer or researcher who has the means to find out where they were going to move in down there in Guatemala. the Hinckley family, where they were going to put their water wells, and are they, in fact, a government front for the takeover of America? Is this one small family or one example? See, I don't think that John Hinckley Jr. fell astray wandering from Daddy's home. As I said before on the radio and other programs, I think he heard this anti-black, this anti-Semitic, this anti-left, and I don't think that they disassociated from him. He was in Colorado for 3 weeks before he came to California, obviously to get his orders of who to see and how to get back to Washington, D.C. to shoot at Ronald Reagan. And he parked his car at the parents' house, and the mother allegedly took him to the airport or arranged for him to go. As of this day, the shooting took place March the 30th, and this is April 26th. I haven't seen any quotation of anyone else who saw him driving his 1977 Valeri around. They said he wandered, he was alone, and he was eating his Big Macs and his fast food, and you would think that he never pulled up for gasoline or had the car greased or tell who bought it for him or who was financing him. I think that Edward Bennett Williams, representing the Colorado area that's moving here into 20th century with vast holdings in Australia and Venezuela, and Edward Bennett Williams representing the Hinckley son, is an interesting connection. I think the Werner Erhard to feed the poor and the World Vision is interesting. I think the AID and the Pentagon connections to the so-called poverty programs is disgusting. And I think that if anybody were sincere in wanting to end these terrible situations instead of allowing them to happen, if we investigated who's behind these things, we would find some group of people, such as the people writing Damien 1, 2, or The Final Conflict, who actually believe that The Final Conflict is necessary, and it will come in through the boardrooms of nice-looking people. And when World War III comes, you won't even know how it came, because it will look, as I say, like George Bush or Alexander Haig or Henry Kissinger. Well, that's it for tonight. That's enough of World Vision for one evening, I think, or Erhard and Feed the Poor programs. I'll be back with you next week on KLRB. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California.
National with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel.